560 KXNO. Ken Miller, Trent Condon. They are Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Miller and Condon on a Tuesday. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, as we resume local programming and talk sports with you for the next couple of hours. Thank you for spending at least part of your morning with us. On the BMW of Des Moines guest list here today, bottom of the hour, we're going to talk you and I. I tried to hook up with Gary Rima last week, his unbelievably busy week as he crisscrossed the country calling basketball and football, but we'll talk about the first place, at least at this point of the season, team in the Missouri Valley Conference. Those UNI Panthers off to a terrific start with a couple of really good wins already. We'll recap the football as they fell on Friday night. The Farley squad to James Madison. What was the final? 17-0, I want to say, was the final. Mm-hmm. In that one, as they get eliminated in the corner final. So we'll dot I's and cross T's on that one. Seems like a long time ago, does it not, that they were playing triple overtime game at Jack Trice Stadium with a freshman quarterback and a freshman kicker. Both have had unbelievable games. So we'll do that with Gary Ryman. Look ahead to, you know, to back to basketball is, you know, what lies ahead in the Valley. They have maybe the most coming out of nowhere non-conference win of the season, right? As Evansville walks into Lexington and to Rupp and picks off the Wildcats of Kentucky. That was unbelievable. In the 11 o'clock hour, John Bowenkamp's going to be here. The Hawkeyes made news yesterday on a couple of fronts. John Bowenkamp. Obviously, we will do the football. We'll do the Jordan Bohannon stuff with him and look forward to catching up on both of those. You know, I've said it, Trent, and we've said it for the last little while. It's just amazing how Iowa football has taken a page from Iowa State football from the last, you know, decade or so.
Sure.
And really got out in front of, you know, we're going to feed the media, who in turn will feed the beast, with Iowa State football basically on hiatus. And yeah, we'll get the Campbell stuff tomorrow, the signing day, but Ference is not going to be a part of it tomorrow, and he met with the media yesterday, so we'll catch up on that. But they've done a nice job. They really have. Iowa, I never thought I'd ever say this, Iowa's done a nice job as far as the media relations. And again, it's not about us, it's about we say the term loosely, the Leistikows, the Morehouses, the Dockermans, etc., and everybody that goes along with it are able to provide the Hawkeye fan base. So we'll talk to John Bowenkamp, and then Zubin Mehenti will slide on in here at 11:20. He's on vacation. I'm not sure where he is.
No.
But he said, you know, I want to do this, so okay.
Well, we'll do that.
Absolutely. We'll go around the world of sports with Zubin. I'm assuming some NFL conversation will pop into the equation. You know, let's start with the Bohannon news, Trent, and then we'll get to Drew Brees, what we saw last night. I want to spend a couple of minutes with him, just marveling at what he's doing at his age. 29 out of 30 last night, 4 touchdowns, all-time leading touchdown pass quarterback in the history of the game, which is remarkable. He's got a couple of records. But let's start with Jordan Bohannon and just, you know, the speculation was, and I think you knew because you were kind of putting out some, you know, I can't say anything kind of stuff.
Yeah,
there might be surgery coming up on his other hip. And you were, you alluded to it, you teased it a little bit, and that's exactly what the announcement said yesterday, that he's going to miss the remainder of the season now to have surgery on his other hip. Who pain-wise, he said, was a 7 out of 10. But yeah, for him to be able to get through what he did, the first 12, and to be able to culminate it with a, being part of a win over Iowa State in Hilton, you know, this is season shortened, but certainly one that he made a mark.
You know, and you could kind of, reading between the lines here throughout this 11 games for the team, 10 for him, you could tell that something certainly was happening here. He wasn't practicing. He wasn't able to go through kind of everything that you'd anticipate from him. And as a player, this was not the same Jordan Bohannon that we've seen at earlier in his career. You could tell he was limited. Mm-hmm. He was limited in a lot of different ways. He didn't shoot the ball particularly well.
Not by his standards.
Yeah. He was 32.8%, 20 of 61. So this was not the same guy that we were used to seeing. You know, going back to when the surgery first came out, and I found it interesting. I was talking to a couple of people that know about this surgery, and one of the people they mentioned was Nazmi Trulon, mm-hmm. who had the surgery on both hips. And they were very surprised, because normally when this type of injury happens, and especially for an athlete that kind of guts through it for a while, it's going to also impact the other hip, And that's what it turns into, a double hip surgery that you have. And that extends the process. I do wonder, maybe it's a question that we'll never find out, but if the doctors told him, look, you need to have surgery on both hips. If you just do one, though, there is a possibility that 6 to 9 month window is closer to 6 months. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can try and see to give it a go. If that was even on the table for him, if that was something that was, here's option A, here's option B, what do you want to go with?
Did he wrestle with that decision?
Right.
And I got to think he probably did. And you know, we've seen and we've come to understand now just his affinity for his teammate, Ryan Kreener, who's going to, you know, he's out of eligibility after this year. And prior to the game at Hilton last week, they had their moment last Thursday night that, you know, their little hug and made it clear that this is going to be it. I mean, I don't know what was said. I can only speculate. But you just wonder what went into it. And he just wanted to be out there with his guys for part of it. And he did. And he got a little taste of it. And we'll get a little more taste out of him. Although, did you see Jeff Goodman, who's really good?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, come on. Speculate. He's
throwing a little gasoline on the fire.
Yeah, what's that all about? I mean, he gets enough clicks.
He does, yeah. He was just stirring
it
pot.
Up, I guess.
That's what, and Jeff Goodman does a pretty good job of that, too. And I think more than anything, that's what it was. But the replies underneath were hilarious. Go to Jeff Goodman's Twitter feed. You'll find it. And you'll see a lot of Hawkeye fans kind of questioning.
Hawkeye fans were busy because there was a piece that was published at Corn Something.
Oh, okay. Like our neighbors to the west?
Yeah, Corn our neighbors something? To the west.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember who tweeted for it. Might have been John, might have been Mark. I don't know. One of the Hawkeye, I think Soundoff tweeted eventually. But just a recap of the season and how, you know what, Nebraska not going to a bowl game is actually going to work out better. Because the coaches don't have to be there for those practices. They can actually spend more time recruiting.
And
this just goes to show you what a big win it was when the kicker of all people for Iowa celebrating and taunting the way that it's just, it was... Rick Brown was the first one to tweet it. Rick Brown's got a new book out. Did you know that?
I saw that,
yeah. And I think maybe Murph and Andy or the Fanatics had him on one day last week. But good for Rick Brown.
Yes.
Still writing, and I know he's still writing for the University of Iowa. But, yeah, if you have a chance.
Oh, Nebraska.
Yeah.
And those people just eat it up, don't they?
Yes, they do.
They lap it up.
And
that's
thank God
a really
they do,
good
Trent.
Point.
And thank God they do in our state, too, because that was, makes it, you know, sports talk radio, certainly in our market, a market I have to remind anybody that has no pro teams and, you know, continues to succeed the way that it does.
Well, I'm just waiting for Christmas when I get to Sioux City this weekend and having that side of the family's Christmas.
Oh, they're all Husker fans?
No. My wife's dad is, though, and her father is a Nebraska fan, so I'm sure he'll be selling me the bill of goods about why this is such a great thing. You know, look at that recruiting class.
Right.
I'll remind him that the last five recruiting classes have all been in the top 25 nationally, and it won't matter. It will go through deaf ears, and I'll go back to my Budweiser and call it a day from there.
So that's what you're doing for Christmas. When are you going up there?
We're going there Saturday. We'll be back Sunday night.
Because we're working Monday.
Yep, we're working Monday.
Everybody's on. Here's the holiday schedule, if you want, for those of you that care. And I know some of you do, and we're grateful for that. All of the shows are here on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And then every one of us is off Tuesday, the 24th, and Wednesday, Christmas Day. Same situation the following week. We're all here on Monday. Then we're off Monday the 30th. And then we're all off on the 31st. We're all off on the 1st. So it's going to work out well because we'll get 2 days to preview both of the bowl games. We'll get 1 day to recap the bowl game. And maybe touch a little bit on because the NFL will be over at that point. And Trent, this NFC is unfair.
It is
unfair. The Vikings are going to, in all likelihood, end up, I don't know, 11-5, 12-4, and have to go to New Orleans to take on the Saints. 6-3. I get it. Well, you know, win your division.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Division's pretty good.
It is pretty good. Here's the thing. With the way it sits right now, Green Bay, the 2 overall seed, how many teams would you take ahead of Green Bay?
On a neutral field,
on
say?
So of the 6 teams that get in, where would you... You certainly wouldn't say that they have the second best chance to get out of the NFC. I mean, to me, it's Niners, it's Seahawks, it's Saints.
But then because maybe they're the 2 seed, remember...
They get a bye, yes.
They get a bye.
Right.
They get the first game at the very least at Lambeau. And if it's not chalk, if it's not the 1 seed, they'll be hosting the NFC title game in Lambeau Field.
But
so because of that,
just seems
that maybe
like
that changes it.
It does. I agree. It just doesn't seem like they're the second best NFC team, though, does it?
No, not at
all. I mean, they're better
all.
Than the Cowboys. Everybody is.
But I'd put them 5th when I'm power rating it.
I'm with you. I think the Vikings are a better football team. And we'll find out. Well, we won't find out, but we'll know a lot more this time Well, we won't be on the air next time, so we'll talk to ourselves a week from today. But next Monday night, and the curtain's coming down on Monday Night Football, and what a way for it to come down, at least locally. It moves our needle, Packers and the Vikings from the Twin Cities.
I got the odds here to win the NFC.
Wow. So let me take a stab at this. So the Niners are the favorite?
They are not.
So the Seahawks are?
They are not.
Wow. Well, that has to be the Saints, and I'm totally wrong on that one because I thought the San Francisco would have been the favorite.
The Saints right now are plus 230 to win the NFC. Your second choice?
Not much more. 250?
275 for the Niners. Then Seahawks? The Seahawks at 3-1. Maybe that's something I'm looking at.
The Cowboys aren't 4.
No.
Even though they're America's team and you would think they get more money, they can't be.
There's the Packers at 6-1. Mm-hmm. And like we talked about,
I don't see it.
The games at Lambeau, though.
I know.
I'm with you, though. Vikings at 11-1. Three straight road wins, though, to do it. At 11-1, that is.
Asking a lot. But 11-1, that's a pretty enticing number.
Cowboys 16-1.
They have no chance.
Eagles 22-1. Mm-hmm. Is that worth a stab?
Just because they're going, if they win on Sunday,
right,
they will get a home playoff game as the 4.
They
no,
have
I don't
pedigree.
Think it is.
This team looks gross.
They're not good, Trent.
No.
Too many injuries.
And then the Rams are still on the board as they are technically still alive. 125-1.
How about those two quarterbacks, the 1-2, Goff and Wentz? And they're both signed to long-term. I mean, their teams, I guess you have to when you draft that high. And, and look, one of them's won a Super Bowl. Well, he was hurt, but part of a Super Bowl team. And the other one got his team to a Super Bowl. And it was a good game. I mean, it was a low-scoring game as we think back to last year. But you're tied to Goff and you're tied to Wentz. Who do you feel better if you're a Rams fan or an Eagles fan?
I still would rather have Wentz.
I would, too.
Of the two, that would be the one that I would go. Look at that wide receiver group. I mean, they're talking about
nothing.
Play their backup quarterback at wide receiver. They're so depleted there.
Zach Ertz, the tight end.
Yes. They're going three tight ends a lot of times because they literally don't have wide receivers. Was it Greg Ward, the former Houston quarterback, is out there running around? All right, here's the odds to win the AFC.
Okay, so Baltimore's clearly favored.
They are. -110.
-110.
To win, that's win two games.
Yeah.
Second choice?
Chiefs.
No. Still the Patriots.
Is it really?
+265. Mm-hmm. I'm jumping on this literally as we're talking. The Chiefs are +350. 7-2. Yes, please.
Why not, right?
7-2? Great pass defense.
Hey, look, the Bills could beat the Patriots this week, opening up the pathway to that number 2 seed.
And then you get into the long shots. The Bills are 20-1. The Texans are 20-1.
Trent, I like that Bills team.
I like that Texans team. Mm-hmm. I still got a future wrapped up on them to win the AFC from before the year. I think it was 22 or 24-1. So I don't need to add any more money to the losing account there. Titans 40-1. Steelers 66-1.
Yeah, they're not getting in. The duck was exposed on Sunday.
Yes,
night.
And the Browns and Raiders, since they're technically still alive, they're listed 750-1 for each of them. Yeah, if you want to take a shot,
the Raiders can get in. I saw this yesterday at 8-8. If all breaks well for them, they can get in at 8-8. You know, since we're talking sports gambling, just let me just kind of switch gears, but put this in context: is the sports bill passing? Sports wagering bill passing in the state of Iowa. Is that the biggest sports story in our state in 2019?
Ooh, it's that time of year, isn't it, that where we have to start to think about those a little bit. Biggest sports story of the year in the state of Iowa. Thinking back, basketball, nice run from Iowa State and Kansas City, Iowa.
Yeah, I mean, they won the tournament, and they won the Big 12 tournament, but
Iowa wins a game there. During the summer, is there really anything that happens?
Dowling won another championship.
Right.
Was there any
football. Iowa and Iowa State had nice seasons, but nothing historic by any means. You and I gets to the quarterfinals. Not a whole lot there.
I think that might be it. That might be the biggest story in sports in 2019. The passage of legislation opening the door for sports wagering in the state of Iowa. Yeah, if it's not that, I wonder what it would be. I don't think we're missing anything.
No.
I think nationally, and as we said in April, the Monday after the second weekend in April, well, there's the biggest story of the year. There'll be nothing that tops that one, and I don't think anything has since with Tiger winning his Masters. But Anyways, so let's talk a little bit about Drew Brees. We talk about Aaron Rodgers, and we kind of see the decline a little bit. Tom Brady's not having anywhere near the year that he's had in the past. At least it doesn't look like he is. Drew Brees last night, 29 out of 30. I mean, four touchdown passes. It's just incredible what he's doing, and he's 41 years of age, and you know, these guys, they all decline. Look at the decline of Phillip Rivers. My God. And, man, of course, their paths crossed. What, 2004, right? 2004, when Brees was in San Diego and the Chargers, well, eventually they would draft Eli Manning but end up with Phillip Rivers. And they would jettison Drew Brees to Miami, who, you know, they wanted him, but, boy, well, you got shoulder issues.
Yeah.
And we're going to go in a different direction.
They went Dante Culpepper, correct?
Yeah, good idea, right? Mm. I mean, he was an okay player, but Drew Brees is a first ballot Hall of Famer and a record holder. And what he's doing at his height, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, you weren't supposed to play in the league. It's certainly, and we know Flutie did, but certainly not at the level that Drew Brees and the numbers that he's put up in his career. They're remarkable. Nothing short of remarkable.
You know, they were showing that package of him and every single time going over to Sean Payton and that relationship.
Yeah.
Just how tight you can tell those two guys are somebody that believed in him and believed that he was going to overcome that shoulder surgery. A lot of people didn't think so. He was already limited in a way. He's got an arm. He's always had an arm. But because of the stature and the limitation that he has there, even if you lose a couple of ticks off that fastball, that's going to matter for a 5'11" quarterback.
Right.
But New Orleans the thing for New Orleans, they didn't have a whole lot of options either.
Right.
So they said, let's give it a shot.
Yeah, what he's done for that franchise is
remarkable. It's incredible.
It really is.
Without Drew Brees when Hurricane Katrina hit, if that team hadn't been as relevant as they would they still be there? I think it's a conversation that at least can be a conversation.
Yeah, hard to say.
Because if they're back-to-back-to-back 4-12s, maybe they're in San Antonio right now.
Could be.
Where they played some games that following season.
Yeah, because they had to completely... what do they call it now? Is it the Mercedes-Benz? I think it's Mercedes-Benz.
Yes, yeah. The Superdome.
The Superdome, right. Yeah. Go in and got it because you know there were so many people that's where they took shelter, as we recall, after Katrina. So unbelievable. All right, just real quick on this. I don't want to spend a ton of time on it. I want to get the piece up. We talked a little bit about our buddy John Orand yesterday.
Yes, yeah.
From Sports Business Daily. Did you see golf cashed in? Talking the business of sports right now, Orand put out his forecast. He kind of speculates what he thinks will be some of the bigger stories in sports media in the upcoming year. And he thought that golf was going to get paid, and he thought there was an opportunity, or golf was going to get a big deal, and there was going to be some other movement around. He's got Tony Romo on there, who's going to get the SEC contract, because a lot of these sports properties are coming up for renewal, including DirecTV, that's going to be up after next year. And I have no idea. You know, what DirecTV and the Sunday NFL ticket, if they will continue to be an exclusive, as I'm guessing it, DirecTV wants it to be.
No doubt.
But how much is that going to cost? And if they do go away, the entities that are bidding for these properties, Trent, are we at the point of change right now that TV is, you know, it's going to be... all of this ESPN Plus, this Amazon, this Netflix. I feel bad for my demographic, damn it. Because we don't get it.
But you can adapt. You can learn. You can change. I mean, remember when...
we shouldn't have to change at our age, man. It's turn the TV on and watch the damn game.
But computers, you were probably scared of computers initially, weren't you?
No, but my grandparents were, and I couldn't believe it. It's not that tough.
Same thing here. It's not that difficult. You're going to be able to figure it out. You're a smart guy, Ken. I get to hear your ideas all the time, your pitches. You're a smart guy. You're going to be able to figure this out. And then you're going to look back, and you're going to say, boy, I was sitting here bitching and complaining for 5 years about this. Should have done this a little quicker.
I bought my grandma a VCR or a Betamax or something in the 80s, and I was so excited to surprise her with this new innovation. You actually can tape shows.
Yes.
And you can get up and you can rewind it, and you can put your TV on channel 4, and you can actually... wanted no part of it. Mm-hmm. Scared to death of it. I mean, I had to take it back.
Because she wouldn't use it.
She wouldn't use it. And here I am.
Same thing.
It's here we are, I guess. Because we've got, what, three games or two games for sure for Iowa State on the ESPN
right.
Plus.
Yeah, a couple coming. Of them on there.
Yeah, they're advertising those now, and why wouldn't they? I mean, it's got to make people aware because there's going to be folks out there that when does the Kansas-Iowa State game? I think it's the 15th of January or whenever. It's sometime in early January, and that's the first time that Iowa State will be part of this. And there's going to be people on the day of the game or maybe the night of the game that, well, what the hell's the damn game?
Right, ESPN.
Well, maybe it's FS1. Where the hell is this? How can this game not be on TV?
It's streaming.
It's streaming.
And you can get it on your television.
Right.
You just have to stream it through ESPN+.
I guess.
It's easy.
I know. And how much is it a month? $5.99?
Yeah.
And you get all these other stuff with it, right?
Right. You can get deep into boxing.
You know what? Did you happen to watch the fights on Saturday night? I didn't.
I heard they were great.
They were terrific. It was like, you know what? You know, demographic was like turning back the clock,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because boxing was so relevant, and it was after the Heisman Award, and hell, there was nothing on. No football. Was there college basketball? I watched college basketball.
Gonzaga,
all day.
Arizona was playing late.
Right. But I watched it all day and I was ready for something else. So I watched boxing and it was really good. I mean, two good fights.
Boxing is such an interesting sport from what it was to what it is today.
Trans. And it was boxing and horse racing.
MMA and what that has done to the sport. But it feels like ESPN Plus. When this first came out, like, all right, just another streaming, what's going to be the difference? Mm-hmm. You look, and it's a bunch of A-10 basketball and Sun Belt hoops.
Yeah,
and,
right.
But you find these niche audiences, and this is what you have to. If you're an MMA fan,
right,
you have to have ESPN+. Plus.
Right, or what's the other one? DAZN? What are they?
DAZN.
DAZN, is that what it is?
Same thing with MMA, boxing. You find these niche sports, and then you keep building. And maybe ESPN+, Plus, are they going to be a player when it comes to a Sunday ticket?
The answer is yes. They're going to be a player in everything.
Monday Night Football?
I wouldn't be surprised. Who's going to do Monday Night Football next year? We talked a little bit about this yesterday.
Somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody different.
That's a hard listen.
It really was.
It is. It's a hard listen.
Joe Test just going nuts. Mm-hmm. Jacoby Brissett for 5.
Oh, speaking of going nuts, Gus Johnson, who you like, I've never been a fan of, and I know I'm way in the minority on this one. They've got the Holiday Bowl.
They do.
That's
FS1 will get the A-team and Joel Klatt along with
who's got the Camping World?
Now, the Big Crews will be getting ready for the
absolutely.
Playoffs.
They've got the two playoff games. So does McDonough and Blackledge maybe get the Camping World? They're usually out back. McDonough seems like he's out back.
Okay.
Because didn't he work with Gruden? Yeah, he did on college. I think they did. Gruden would cross over. Remember when he was doing Monday Night Football and he would always, because he did the Clowney game, I'm pretty sure, when Clowney made his play.
Are you ready?
You got it?
I got it.
Good team? No. I see your voice. I can see your disdain.
Bob Wischusen?
Okay.
Now, here's a guy that I like, but I like him in studio. I don't remember him doing color. Dan Orlovsky, former UConn quarterback, Detroit Lion.
I watched that team. That team did a couple of games that I watched this year.
And Allison Williams will be the sideline. Mm-hmm. So, all right.
Yeah, no, it's not. There's better crews. So who's got the two playoff games? We know, obviously, that Herb Street will have one of them.
I'm sure he'll do the Clemson-Ohio State, right?
Well, he'll do the night game, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the finale. That's the fiesta. The peach would be... Peach got to be McDonough. McDonough and Blackledge. I'll be surprised if it's not.
Not finding a list of per bowl game. I just Camping World though.
I'll find it. I think I saw the link, but never clicked on it at some point. Anyways, we'll take a time out. We'll come back. We're going to switch gears entirely. Gary Reim is going to join us. Now, what are we doing? We're going to talk to Gary semi-regular. I know Kevin Lehman's going to join the program on a weekly basis as we switch into basketball, and he's going to, his first appearance is tomorrow, I want to say.
Absolutely.
So I look forward to talking to Kevin Lehman, a really good color analyst on basketball. He does everybody, so he'll see all of the, or most of them anyways, the local teams at some point. Washer Systems of Iowa sponsors Kevin Lehman, and then we'll get Gary periodically, including 5 minutes from now.
Coach Jake also going to join us a few times here throughout the year, so looking forward to talking with him. Talk some UNI hoops, Big Four with Kevin Lehman. We'll talk Iowa State,
UNI,
and Drake.
Big Four.
Miss it?
Yeah, I think we do, don't we?
Would it be this weekend?
I think it would.
Yeah.
I think it would be this weekend or last weekend.
Miss it even more. I mean, Cincinnati is fun.
Mm-hmm. But you and I would be more fun.
That would be big time.
Yeah.
Big thank you, though, to Jeff Egley and everybody out at Washer Systems of Iowa. Looking for a pressure washer for your garage, siding. I've used that before. Pressure washers there. Floor care equipment, heaters for your shop, your garage. They can help you out there. Washer Systems of Iowa in Des Moines.
And if you don't think that they're an Iowa company, just listen to the commercial.
No doubt.
There's no R in wash, but us Iowans, we like to make different spellings,
yes,
don't we? We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We will talk to Gary Rhyme. 11 o'clock, we're going to do the Hawkeyes with John Bohenkamp with the Bohannon News and the Ferentz press conference from yesterday. We'll catch up on that. Zuba Mahente, 1120. Trent and I till noon. Des Moines Sports Station, 14.
Streaming live from coast to coast on iHeartRadio. This is 1460 KXNO.
Hi, welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO with you until noon in the 11 o'clock hour. John Bohenkamp from the Maven. Trent, I just got a new number here. Let me go off here real quick.
All right, we'll get it set up and get the new number.
You know what? I'll just send it to you.
That'll be good.
Just take a screenshot here. Anyways, we do know the Camping World Bowl is indeed Todd Blackledge and Sean McDonough. And we had a tweet. Somebody tweeted the show when we were talking about what we thought would be the biggest story of the year in sports in the state of Iowa. Carson King is the answer. That's a really good one. Now, and then sports wagering is still big. But when you consider the tentacles that the Carson King story had, you know, with the Register and then filtering all the way down to Rag Bri, you know, the split of that and what started at game day for Cyhawk up in Ames and all the money that was raised and where the money went. And then the Register publishes the story on Carson King, a feel-good story, and they, you know, dig into his past, find those texts from when he was, you know, a teenager or whatever. So, well done. Well done on your part. I think that probably will rule the day. Marcus Birkin, thank you for tweeting that at Trent and I. It is, in my opinion, the bigger story of the two, sports wagering. Carson King will take it for me. Gary Rhyme joins the program as we talk you and I. Gary, Trent, and Ken, thank you for coming on. Have you recovered from crisscrossing the country as you had to do last week? You put on a lot of miles, Gary Rhyme. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Doing great. Great to be on with you guys again. Yeah, I'm good. You know, 5,423 miles.
That's
later,
crazy.
Three games in 4 days, three different time zones, Central Mountain out to the East Coast and back. I'm good to go, guys. What a week. What a fun. Hey, two out of three ain't bad, but got a little greedy. I wanted that third one on Friday night.
Yeah, and understandably so, Gary. And, you know, look, I'm not bashing the referees. I'm sure there were calls that went in you and I's favor. I thought the first one, had that turnover stood, and I didn't see anything that I thought that they should overturn the call. Maybe you did. But certainly, had that one, had you been able to get that turnover where you did, who knows what might have been different, right?
Yeah, how crazy is that? And the first play from scrimmage, if the call on the field stands that was a fumble and a recovery by you and I, at their 28 going in, might have changed the whole trajectory of that ball game. And, guys, we still can't figure out how the replay official overturned that one. And really, really confusing. And, you know, the crazier one also was later when Tyler Hoosman fumbled the football. We had a big screen TV in our press box. We were seeing replays of it. Elbow down, butt down, then the ball comes out. And so we asked Coach Farley about it on the postgame show, said, man, those two replays, the one they overturned and overturned the call on the field didn't seem right. And then from our vantage point, it looked like Hoosman was down and they didn't overturn that call. They called that a fumble on the field and a recovery by James Madison. And we thought the replay official would certainly overturn that one. And he said what happened was on that replay, in the replay booth, they lost all replays.
Are you kidding me?
No way.
Yeah. I mean, how opportune of a deal was that for James Madison? But just at that time, somehow the replay video got scrambled and they couldn't see it. I told Coach Farley he could have come down to our booth. They were showing the replay on TV, and we were seeing it perfectly fine when his elbow was down. But, yeah, it's pretty crazy. But, you know, the defense played outstanding mm-hmm. in that game. The offense was just too banged up, guys, and not making excuses. But you can't be playing with a fourth- and fifth-string tight end and missing three of your top four wide receivers from the start of the year and two of your running backs and your best running back playing hurt. I mean, Trevor Allen was just gutting it out. He was playing hurt. It's just, you know, Will McElveen just didn't have enough weapons in the skill position to really do some of the things offensively that we needed to do to beat that team. And they got a great defense, too. So, really proud of what this team did, all the injuries and adversity and the schedule they had to play and not getting a top eight seed and the route they had to take. I mean, it was a special season, and I tell you, the future looks pretty good.
Well, speaking of that future, Trevor Allen, his career finishes up. Jalen James, a kid from East, he finishes his career. But offensively, four of the five starters on the O-line back. Of course, McElveen will be back at quarterback. A lot of skill position talent, and 10 of the 11 starters on the defense going to be back next year. Certainly, what, preseason top five team, and maybe a team finally Farley can push North Dakota State and the rest of the upper echelon of the FCS?
Yeah, you know, I'm right with you, Trent, and the schedule really favors you and I next year when it comes to Valley games. We get North Dakota State at home. We get South Dakota State at home, Illinois State at home. It's that good year of where we don't have to travel to those places. And, you know, North Dakota State, they might come into the Unidome next year on about a 39 or 40 winning streak. And the last time they had one of those long winning streaks, you know what happened, TC. Yeah. They came into the Dome and the Panthers ended it. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as disappointed as Panther Nation is that the team couldn't pull off that upset on Friday night and get to the semifinals, I think everybody should be pretty optimistic on what it looks like for next year with all those guys back. Plus, Briley Moore is going to come back for an additional season, the All-American tight end, the preseason MVFC tight end, Tristan Bohr is going to come back, play another year, another tight end. So, you know, I tell you what, you know, we lose a couple of key guys, but we got so much coming back next year, led by that young quarterback, Will McElveen. I still think he's going to be a special talent before it's all said and done. We've got to find a running back or two. I think we got to find that premier running back to bolster the offense, one or two wide receivers. But tell you what, a lot of that defense is back, and I love the schedule next year. We open up at Iowa. We get a chance to host Weber State, who I really felt we were as good as them when we played them out at their place, just got off to a bad start. So I think it looks really promising for 2020 UNI Panther football.
Well, you know, 19, Gary, is certainly going to go down. I mean, you go back to week number one, right? We bookend this thing. Week number one, the triple overtime, and then, you know, the other bookend when the season came to an end. Two memorable games. I mean, Matthew Cook, how about his field goals up at Jack Trice Stadium? He was unbelievable. And McElveen, as you mentioned, certainly a memorable year. Well, let's talk about basketball. We may be starting to see signs of a memorable season out of Jacobson's squad. They're certainly off to a good start. They have the best record in the Valley, a conference that's certainly taken some non-conference scalps, to say the least, so far. What have you seen from the Valley as we get set to get into conference play? But the Panthers, let's start with them, off to a terrific start at 10-1, and no surprise, Green and company really playing well early.
I tell you what, this team is built to be a postseason tournament team, Ken. We've got the depth at guards. The way Justin Dahl's playing off the bench as a backup center, Austin Fife, I think, is much improved and taking that time off last year, getting healthy. He's doing the things that I think we all thought he was going to do when he came into the program as a freshman. Remember, they took Austin Fife ahead of Cameron Crutwood, the center at Loyola, where they were on both those guys. And when Fife committed, then they backed off on Crutwig, And I think Fife can be that kind of center for us on what Krutwig was for their team that had that deep run in the NCAA tournament all the way to the Final Four. And, you know, it just, this team, it looks to me like our Sweet 16 team that we had that made that great run with good inside play, the really good shooting guards, and a very defensive-minded team. I mean, we're shutting some teams down. The way we defended West Virginia, a game I really felt we should have won, got beat 60-55, but, man, we did it. I thought we were really good against them for 35 minutes.
I agree.
South Carolina, Colorado, you know, what a great game that was. I'm telling you, this is a team to keep an eye on. I don't want to put too much pressure on it, but it feels like we're the team to beat in the Valley, and it's kind of fun to be that team that is the hunted and not that we're out hunting everybody else down.
You know, as you look back, you mentioned the West Virginia game, the only loss, but they bounced back. Got a win against a power conference team in South Carolina. That win against Colorado is going to go a long way. We're obviously very much crystal balling things here, but to put together a resume short of winning the MVC tournament in the Missouri Valley, a different conference when it was year after year getting multiple bids. I mean, do they have to be 15-3 or better in league play to even get into that conversation for an at-large?
Yeah, you know, it feels like you've got to maybe win the regular season title. You've got to be 15-3, 16-2, yeah. You know, maybe 14-4 and get to the championship game. Mm-hmm. And if you get bumped out, our resume, guys, might be good enough. Our numbers look really good right now. The problem is, when you look at the rest of the numbers of the teams we're going to play in the league,
right?
You know, I think they had us like as a 28, so yep. Everybody's going to be shooting to knock us off to get that premier victory. But, you know, we're not going to face a lot of top 50-type games in our league. We're just not. So you're going to have to put together a great Missouri Valley Conference season, and if you don't win that postseason conference tournament, maybe you did just enough that you've got 24, 25, 26 wins and won the regular season title, and that's good. That'll be good enough. And a lot of it depends on what happens across the country, too, guys. I mean, you don't want to have a bunch of upsets in a lot of those postseason conference tournaments that allow a second team in from other leagues, too. But I tell you what, it's going to be a fun year. You know, watch out for Bradley. I still think Bradley's going to be a team to reckon with, even though Elijah Child's going to miss 3 to 7 weeks with an injury that he just suffered. You know, Evansville can be a little scary. I know they've got a decent team. They've been up and down. Galgar Darren DeVries there at Drake. I mean, he's winning games. He's doing his job with the Bulldogs. So that final game of the regular season,
I love it.
You know, when we play at Des Moines against the Bulldogs, that could be a beauty.
Yeah, the 29th of February, we're about to embark on a leap year. Trent and I were talking about that yesterday, actually. The
regular season ahead. Title on the line?
Well, I don't know about that, but there's certainly that 15-3 could be on the line, right? I mean, I hope Drake lives up to it, and that comes down to that. But that's a great point, Gary. That could be a special game, and it's a night game, too, right? It's an early evening tip. There might be some buzz in the city of Des Moines for you and I coming to the Knapp Center to take on the Bulldogs on the 29th of Feb.
Yeah, well, you know, that's that game that the league holds and doesn't always lock in a game time, because they always select late in the season a feature game to be on. You know, maybe it's the Valley game of the week, maybe it's on one of the ESPN channels or whatever. So, you know, that could be an afternoon feature game all across the country, too, if it comes down to where the conference title could be on the line in that one. So, yeah, that's it. And we're going to play it on a day that's not even on the calendar. That's the 29th. I mean, are you sure we're playing? No, how cool is that? Play that on a leap year day. Yeah, that could be fun. We had a lot of basketball before then. But,
yeah, we do.
Let's hope that the Valley does enough to where we can get a second team in. But, you know, it's tough, guys. At this level, it's hard to always get that second team in.
You know, A.J. Green, you mentioned now his sophomore season for the Panthers. He had so much on his plate a year ago as a freshman. But you're seeing, I think, that development out of him. Seems like he's playing at a much more efficient level. And, oh, that shot, it was certainly falling against Colorado. But your thoughts on the growth you've seen out of A.J. Green this season?
Well, first of all, TC, he is stronger. He's more physical. He's, you know, He came in as a true freshman and played right away. Now a year through the weight room and conditioning and eating right. Because I tell you, he's a gym rat. He's in the gym all the time. I mean, it's crazy how much time he spends in there. But he spent a ton of time in the weight room. So I think strength-wise, just the way he's defending people, handling the ball better, and he's got a great shot. And, you know, with the way Burhau and some of the other guys are playing around him, that's really helped him too, where we just can't really try and lock down on AJ. He's a special talent. I mean, we've had great guards before, but the confidence that he plays with and, the way the rest of the team even, looks up to him as a sophomore, it's really pretty cool to watch. And, he's a really humble kid, fun to be around, great to talk with. And I tell you what, if we get to where we all want to be at the end of the year, a lot of it is going to be because A.J. Green is just that much better this year than he was as a true freshman. And he still, guys, he still isn't anywhere near the ceiling. I mean, and it's fun because when we were in Cancun, there were some NBA scouts there. And to hear them talk about this young man, I tell you what, he's turning some heads, not just at the collegiate level. There's some people that got their eye on him. They love his game. We even said to him the other day, we said, "You look taller, AJ." And he says, "Yeah." He says, "I think I actually grew about an inch." He looks like he's about 6'5" now, guys. And, for that, at a point guard spot and the way he can shoot it and pass it and run the offense. And he's defending better. Man, he's really coming on.
Gary Reimer, the voice of the UNI Panthers. Gary, great to catch up with you. Look forward to doing this a whole bunch more times between now and, that leap year, that 29th of February, and then on to March as you guys head to St. Louis, and hopefully we'll head there as the one seed. Gary, thank you. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, my friend.
Hey, same to you, Ken and TC. Great being back on with you, and let's do it again soon.
Promise you we will. Thanks, Gary. Good to talk to you. Gary Reimer, the voice of the UNI Panthers, and of course all of our UNI conversation, Trent, throughout, whether it's Kevin Lehman or whether it's Gary Reimer or whether it's the coach Jacobson himself, brought to us by our friends at
Washer Systems of Iowa. Thank you again to Jeff Egli as our conversations will continue. Find him at 6050 Northeast 14th Street in Des Moines. Pressure washers, equipment for your shop, for your garage. It is Washer Systems of Iowa.
And the football team opens at Kinnick next year?
Yeah, how about that? That's back awesome. On the schedule again.
I love it. Love it.
The edict that was handed down, that decision that came.
And didn't last long, though, right? I mean, I don't even think it took effect because they were able to play the schools that they had grandfathered in.
It might have been, was it last year? Were there any FCS on the Big Ten? It might have been just one season only. But
maybe.
But it makes sense because for Ohio State, they got a bunch of Ohio MAC schools that they can choose. So in Michigan, they got Eastern and Western, and on and on and on. For the schools in the Big Ten West, though, there aren't those schools. Mm-hmm. Outside of Northern Illinois, there isn't anybody over here from the MAC. So you're paying $2.2 million a year for a Sun Belt
team. Keep it in state.
Or Conference USA, or you and I in South Dakota State and North Dakota State. And these are things that are financially visible, and they're better games. People are going to be more excited for you and I. People in Minnesota are more excited when Nodak State or Sodak State goes in there for a matchup as opposed to Troy, as opposed to Appalachian State. Those are good Sun Belt teams coming in there, but the regional interest is important. Glad to have those back.
Absolutely. We'll take a time out. We'll come back, finish the hour. John Bowenkamp on all the Hawkeye news that was made yesterday. He'll be on at 11. Zubin Mahente at 11:20 will go around the world of sports with Zubin. Trent and I are with you until noon. It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station.
$14 million.
24-hour sports anywhere in the world on iHeartRadio. This is 1460 KXNO.
All right, welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO with you here right up until noon. That's the case every Monday through Friday, except during special weeks like next week with Christmas and day before, and then the next one, 31st, New Year's Eve Day and New Year's Day. There'll be no local programming this Tuesday, or next Tuesday, Wednesday, and the one following that. So we'll talk to Cappy tomorrow for the last time until, middle of
2020,
right? Whatever that day will be, the 8th of January, we'll get capped for the next time. I saw they're already advertising that Cubs convention.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's funny the way the calendar goes, right? When things end, and we're in the middle of the offseason now in baseball, and you check off the caravan if you're a Chicago Cubs fan.
Before we came on today, we were talking about the golf majors and what they're going to be next year. Already looking forward. That's that's what you do in this business. You're in the here and now, and you're always sad when football's coming to an end. But
sad. I'm distraught.
There's always something to look forward to.
I know. Look forward to a couple of Iowa-owned horses making an impact on the first Saturday in May, potentially.
Yeah, help me out here a little bit, because I heard it's not just the one horse that you mentioned.
Dennis's Moment.
Dennis's Moment. Right. But there's another?
His name is Thousand Words, and he's Bob Baffert, who's trained the last two Triple Crown winners.
That's a name that I know.
Right. He has. It's another one owned by Luchin Albaugh, and he's based in California, and he's two for two and might be better than Dennis's Moment. We'll see. Ooh. But the... the winter book, the I mean, it's the first Saturday in May of next year. But the favorites right now are of the top five. They have two of the top five contenders. It's a long way between now and the first Saturday in May, as I will tell you. But that's certainly a story to watch, and we will, as we turn the calendar from 19 to 20. This year has flown by, dude.
It has. It's been a fun year here.
Oh, for fun. I've had a ball.
At KXNO. So happy to be here.
Yeah.
It's been incredible. In fact, I was talking to Mike downstairs yesterday. He goes, you guys going to do like a special anniversary show? Like, I don't know about that. I don't think we're going to quite go that far, but it has been quite the year, and so happy to be here. Love the time.
Yeah, the time slot's spectacular.
This is perfect for you.
It's wonderful. It is. You know, we got bowl games in the middle of the day starting on Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. The Bahamas Bowl.
Are you in any confidence bowls?
I am.
What's your most confidence? Do you know yet? Have you filled it out?
I haven't gotten to that point. I'm going through my fantasy league that I'm in for the bowls. After I get through that, then it's time for confidence bowls.
No, that's a great concept. I don't know if we came up with it. It's been out for a while, but it's a really good concept. All right, 11 o'clock hours next. We take you until noon. Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.